the use case diagrams, and well, as I said earlier, you can use use case diagrams to specify requirements on the system, or to specify use cases between users of the system and the system, or between different components in the systems. So these are certain scenarios that are supposed to be whose functionality is supposed to be covered by the system. And well, these you can specify using use case diagrams. And now with this security extension, you are able to include the security requirements within these diagrams. And in this case, I give an example here where well, the use case that is supposed to be implemented in the system is a sort of sales application, and the use case is that a customer should be able to buy goods from a business, and well, the businesses of course should be able to sell the good to the customer. And this is the use case, and we can now include certain kind of stereotypes that specify which kind of requirement should hold in this system. And in this example, this is, would be, for example, the fair exchange requirement. This is another example for a security requirement which you usually have in the physical world, but which is really not easy to implement in an electronic world. So to try to explain what this means, so fair exchange means that well, to coming back to the physical world, it's the situation where you go into a shop and you buy something by giving your money to the merchant, and at the same time you get the good from the merchant. And there's really little that can go wrong there, because you are there at the same place at the same time, and well, there will be little dispute about the fact that you actually gave some money and you actually got back the good. And now the problem is, in an electronic world, you're usually not at the same place, but the transaction partners are in very can be in very distant locations. And this means that the communication between the two partners will not be synchronous. Like if you stand in a shop and you can see the merchant and talk to him immediately, but it's always the case that someone has to send the message to someone else and wait until that that transaction partner receives the message and then maybe answers the message, and it's always this back and forth situation. And this means that for example, the one of the two parties has to start doing something. So there are two alternatives. Either the customer first pays for the good and then hopes that he will later receive the good, either physically by post or maybe digital content over, to be able to download the digital content over the internet. Or it's the other way around, where the business firstly provides the good and hopes that the customer will later actually send the money. But in both situations, this is really, it's inherently insecure to start with. And because in each situation, one of the two parties can claim that they never received, or can try to claim that they never received the good or the money, and simply not deliver. Or could claim that they did deliver the good or the money, but for some reason it didn't arrive, or that the other party just simply lied and they did receive the good or the money, and so on. So there's all kind of possible disputes that can go on between the parties in such a distributed transaction. And the fair exchange requirement is now that this transaction should be implemented in a way that actually prohibits these kinds of disputes to arise, or at least if they arise, which in a way which should guarantee that these are, can be settled in a fair way. So But then in the end, the worst thing that can happen is that the complete transaction is cancelled and everyone still has what they had when they started the transaction. And this is so. This is the an example for such a constraint which you may want to be able to insert in an early system design phase in a use case diagram in just very abstract way. Of course, at this kind of high level of abstraction, it's not yet possible to do any meaningful analysis. I mean, all the information that is given in this diagram is that you have two actors, customer and business, and two use cases, buys goods and sells goods. And if this should satisfy some abstract requirement, but there's really not much analysis you can do here. But it's still still useful just for documentation purposes. And so the and then the so the requirement here would then be really that whenever you write this down in a use case diagram, such a requirement such as fake exchange, and in the next step you you define this use case in more detail, for example using an activity diagram like the one given here, then this more precise specification should satisfy the same requirement. And so the sort of technical constraint which should hold in a UML specification, which includes, for example, a use case with a fake change stereotype and an activity diagram which should implement this use case, then firstly the simple constraint is that this activity diagram should also carry the same fake change stereotype. And this is of course a very simple consistency check which you can easily implement in a tool. Of course you could also see this manually, but it's also useful to have this realized as a tool, because whenever you have to do something manually you may forget to do it, or the main point is also that often specifications change during development, and if you don't have tool support which automatically checks even these very simple things, then you have to do all these checks over again manually every time you change something. So that's should be well, I think it's obvious that even for these kind of very simple things, it's very useful to have automated tool support that checks these sort of consistency requirements. Now, in a second step, in this kind of activity diagram, this fake exchange stereotype now actually has a more technical constraint attached to it. And this is now supposed to to formalize this abstract specification which I just explained on the previous slide, namely that the e-commerce transaction should be implemented in a way that you have a well-defined starting point and well-defined end point of this transaction, and that whenever the endpoint is reached, that whenever the endpoint is reached, that the overall level of security of the system is still preserved. The way you do this within the context of this activity diagram is now that associated with this fake exchange stereotype, you have two kinds of tagged values. Firstly, the start tag, and then the stop tag. With the start tag, you can specify the activity which is seen to be the beginning of the security critical part of this transaction. And with the stop tag, you should specify what the end of a security critical execution of this transaction should be. In this example, the point here is that the constraint that that should be implemented by the specification that the developer of this this transaction has written, the requirement that on the technical level that should be implemented now is that whenever a start activity is reached within the system, and assuming that the system is executed completely to the end, then eventually during the remaining part of the execution there should be a stop stop activity reached. So this means more exactly, or the way this allows me to implement this fake change requirement is now that in this particular specification I use the start tag to mark this pay activity. The point is that in this particular implementation of such electronic transaction, the assumption is that the customer has to pay beforehand and will hopefully later receive the goods that he bought. So with respect to that, the starting point of the security critical part of this transaction is the point where the customer paid for the good, because the customer wants to be guaranteed that once he pays, he will later eventually either be delivered the good or be able to reclaim the money. And so this is also reflected here then with these kind of stop tags, namely firstly either this is the reclaim activity or the pick up activity, meaning that, well, since in this activity diagram, assuming that it is executed until the end of the diagram, then since this is a synchronous split of the control flow, both of these parts of the control flow have to be executed to reach the synchronization bar. And in particular, this means that since we have this split up of the control flow here, depending on whether the customer is eventually delivered the good or not, the point is here that in each of the two cases, the security critical part of the transaction is actually finished, either by allowing the customer to pick up the good or by allowing him to reclaim the good. And in that sense, in this diagram, this fake change requirement is actually fulfilled, of course still on a relatively high level of abstraction, but here you can actually now use the tool support, which I will show later in this tutorial, to automatically analyze that the technical constraint that in this case, after a pay activity is reached, eventually during a complete execution of the system, eventually we have a reclaim or a pickup activity reached. This you can now actually verify automatically using the tool support. So the way this is then, this works in practice, is that the user of this approach draws a diagram like this, and puts in the fake change stereotype with the associated tags, and then puts this diagram into the analysis engine, and the analysis engine will then either say, okay, everything is fine here, the fake change stereotype which was inserted, the constraint of this stereotype is actually fulfilled with respect to these tags in the specified scenario. Or the alternative is that the tool will then say, no, the constraint is not fulfilled, and will then also point out where the possible problems are. For example, if this this reclaim facility was not provided here, then there could be an execution of the system where such a stop activity is not reached. Okay, so this is this is an example for a slightly more technical stereotype, for a stereotype which you can then actually analyze on the technical level.
May we ask questions?
Yes.
Does this kind of diagrams allow hierarchical decomposition? Because I can imagine I look at this as a Petri net, because I don't know this curve. The brain starts two parallel activities, but it could be more complicated that there would be an acknowledgement of payment and an agreement on the date of delivery and so on cannot be added to that as a refinement to the diagram, or do you have to redraw the entire diagram?
No, this can also be added in different ways. So and the comparison to PetriNet is actually valid. So activity diagrams are, in a sense, very similar to PetriNets. And you can refine these activities in different ways. So there are, for example, sub-activities where you can sort of zoom into a given activity and give it a more specific meaning. So for example, for each activity, you can use another diagram, such as a state chart, to specify what this activity is supposed to be exactly. That's possible, yes.
But what if that activity would generate extra outgoing arrows for communication, let's say, between the customer and the business?
This is covered by the overall approach. So I would say a little bit more about tool support later. The point is that so firstly we defined a precise execution semantics for the fragment of UML that I'm using here, and this execution semantics also covers the possibility that different kinds of diagrams are used together, also in a hierarchical way that you mentioned. And in that sense, in the end, you have one for a given UML specification, which may include different kinds of diagrams, such as these activity diagram and maybe a state chart, which specifies one of the activities in more detail. And for all these diagrams together, you get one sort of big execution model for a given UML specification. And in that execution model, you will then be able to see or to analyze, rather using the tool support, that, for example, as a refinement of a given activity, the customer sends a message to the business or something. This will actually be contained in this execution semantics, and the tool, which then automatically checks these stereotypes, will also take this into account. You know, in that sense, this is possible.
A concrete example, for instance, with delivery. Suppose it gets delivered late. So it's undelivered by the delivery due date. And the customer reclaims the payment. And then 2 weeks later, it arrives anyway.
Yes, yeah. This is actually a practical situation which has occurred to me already. In that sense, the specification here is only really a simplification. So you would have, what would happen then is, what happened in my case, I actually ordered something over the internet, I paid by credit card, it didn't arrive, I canceled the credit card payment because it was slightly funny business anyway, which was sort of located in the Bahamas or somewhere, you know.
Was it PayPal or something?
Not exactly, but... I think I ordered some business cards or something from a company which is based, you know, in a funny place of the world, you know, probably for tax reasons or whatever. But, you know, it seemed a bit funny. After a couple of weeks, the business cards didn't come, and so I canceled the credit card payment. But then they actually came the next day, as it happens, you know. And in principle, I would have said, I get business cards for free now. But, of course, this, what happens in practice is then that the company will of course complain to my bank, and they may not be able to get the money this time. But if this happens a lot, then eventually I will get a bad reputation, and I will not be able to have a credit card card anymore. So this is probably the overall organizational context that such a transaction should be seen in. But of course, this example here is only. With only a simplified part of that, but it would be possible to also include the overall organizational process, and this is what I mentioned earlier with this requirement that one should be able to specify the secure workflow of the system. Because this, what I just mentioned now, that, you know, if a customer does this, these kind of tricks, then eventually you will not be able to use his credit card anymore. This is something which a particular developer would probably not implement in his part of the system, because this is really just the overall organizational process. But it would be good if he would be able to specify this in his overall workflow, because he would then be able to take this into account to analyze the system with regard to security, because it may be important, although it's not really what he's supposed to implement. Okay, does this answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
I think we're already a couple of minutes into the coffee break now, so yeah, I would say we just do the coffee break now until 11 o'clock, I think, and then, well, come back together others. Unless there's another question now about this part. Okay, then we'll come back in half an hour.